Welcome to Sports Odds and Ends. This is the show for the fly-by-night sports fans. I am your host, King Kaz. I'm joined by my good friend and co-host, the one, the great JVZ. It's football season.
It is, and some people are already injured. That's how you know it's football season.
Week one, day two, and people are already dipping into the waiver wire.
And some people are already moving teams, but we'll get to that later.
First up is the roundup. So I want to, I kind of want to take this first one, because there's some interesting things here. So Serena Williams, lost the Grand Slam to, I'm going to struggle with this name, so help me out.
Bianca Andreescu. Who's 19 years old. This is her first Grand Slam, and I think this is the, I think Serena's been in four straight finals, but pretty much lost all of them. That's still four straight finals.
And two younger opponents, which is kind of a dumb thing to say, but there has kind of been this rhetoric on Twitter, and I want both of your opinions on this relatively quickly. A lot of people are kind of taking the mindset on Twitter and in other places that I've seen that Serena has nothing else to prove and they don't understand why she's still playing. They feel like she's made her name in tennis. Why are you still doing this? And my thing has always been, there are people who exist that just love to compete.
Yeah, I agree. Like I think there's a, and DGM does as well in the chat. I almost wonder why some players don't play until, and this is across all sports, like you basically play until no team has a spot for you in the league. That's the way I think teams should do, or players should do it. Like, you know, Jerry Rice played until he was 40, until he was cut in preseason by the Denver Broncos, which nobody remembers him as a Denver Bronco ever. Like, you know, that guy just kept going and going. Like, he did not retire on top. He used himself until he was not useful anymore. He made as much money as he could until he couldn't, until nobody was willing to pay him anymore. Serena Williams, while she's still making finals, she should just keep going.
I think that's kind of a thing to look at as well, right? She still competes in finals. She's still up there. Her and Federer are some of the best to play that game, and they continue to show why they're the best to play that game. And I don't understand the notion that people have where it's like, you have nothing left to prove. They're not trying to prove anything. They just enjoy competition.
And in Roger Federer's case, he ended up proving something, because I feel like people were saying that shit about him 10 years ago, and then he's continued to win since then. And you know, people have said the same thing about Tiger Woods, and he came back and won a major this year. So it's
So don't let age fool you out there, ladies and gentlemen. Age is a mindset when you are a high level athlete. I think.
Don't let age. Like, don't let just age alone fool you. Like, your body will tell you when you're done. Your opponents will, the scores and the you know, whether you get to sign more contracts, that will tell you when you're done. Like, you will be done when you have no more opportunities to play. You know, don't take yourself out of that, because you know, but before that stuff gets forced out of you.
Because I think, and this will be my last point on this, and we'll move on to other things in the roundup. I think you end up in situations where you end up looking like a Brett Favre or a Michael Jordan, right? Where you may have walked away too soon, and by the time you do come back, you've lost a little bit.
Yeah, I think, yeah, and in Michael Jordan's case, it was just weird seeing him on another team. But you know, the Chicago Bulls would have certainly had him for you know, so many the Yeah, the Chicago Bulls would have certainly had him back had he wanted to continue playing for them. I mean, just keep playing until you can't.
So tonight we have in the men's final, we have Rafael Nadal versus Dmitry Medvedev.
Nadal's another one of those guys that, like, 10 years ago they said, like, he's not going to be able to keep playing the style that he plays because it's just going to be hard on him, and he's still playing, and he's still in the final. So,
yeah.
Screw what people say.
Speaking of somebody who wanted to make moves and it is now looking like he will not be able to, is Neymar. So,
yeah, he's this stuck.
Deadspin article kind of points out, yeah, how Neymar is stuck at PSG.
Yeah, and I think the transfer deadline ended at the end of September, so so he can't until January, I believe. So
was it more of not being able to find somebody to split that cost? Like, what is kind of the crux of why this didn't happen?
Yes, he wanted to go back to Barcelona, like we said before, and they couldn't figure out a deal to send him back to Barcelona. I think they wanted to do a player swap, which is a bit unusual, not that unusual, but they're just trying to find the right combination of both money and players to send back and forth to make this deal work, and they couldn't do it. So, or at least they couldn't do it in time. So maybe they'll continue throughout the next couple months to negotiate and see if they can work something out so that the winter transfer window lets him transfer. But also, if he plays, I believe if he plays in any Champions League games or the cup game, domestic cup games won't matter because PSG and Barcelona are in two separate leagues. But if he plays in any Champions League games, I don't think he's allowed to then play for Barcelona in the Champions League if he transfers.
Okay. Let's move on to a little bit of basketball news. Unfortunately, a person we tend to find a little bit interesting is in a bit of trouble. There's been a warrant issued for his arrest in Alabama, that is DeMarcus Cousins, for accusations of threatening his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, actually, I don't know if you could even classify them as accusations anymore. TMZ has a tape, and so he's...
I mean, letter of the law, innocent until proven guilty, but it is damning evidence.
I think I'm on record on this show as saying that if DeMarcus Cousins were to punt a baby into the stands, I would find a way to blame the baby for it, and... Yeah, that's not true. Domestic violence accusations are serious, and apparently this was, he threatened his ex-girlfriend that he would kill her if she didn't have his son at his wedding. So that's, pretty clear cut, especially when there's audio. And so the league is investigating right now, but I'm pretty sure they're going to come down pretty hard on Cousins from a basketball perspective. From a legal perspective, he could spend up to a year in jail. It's a pretty dramatic fall from grace over the last couple of weeks for Cousins. Starting with his ACL injury, and then now this. So
yeah. So just more things for the Lakers not to look forward to going into this season. Moving on from there, with more basketball news, the FIBA World Cup is actually looking relatively good for the U.S. as we're up 4-0 after a relatively scary game against Turkey.
Yeah, I think that. That one had to go into overtime, which, like, normally the U.S. team should be so far away ahead of everybody else that should not happen. But But it did. I mean, this is a talent depleted team after a bunch of players said that they didn't want to go. So, we're working with a team where I think Kemba Walker is probably the best player on the team. So, but I mean, they're learning to play together. They're still coached by Greg Popovich. So they're still doing pretty well. And, but it's looking like, you know, Serbia is going to be a really tough team to beat this year. And, like all the other countries, they brought all their best players, all their NBA players, whereas the U.S. had a bunch of players that were just like, I think I'll skip this one.
And, reel up with a bunch of why nots. Like, why not? Kind of guys. So Monday they're going to be playing against Brazil. Should be a relatively easy win for the U.S., but we will see. As we know, at the national stage, the men don't do so well across the board lately. But hopefully this will mean something. It doesn't really mean anything. On to some racing news. Formula One, to be more specific. You have this link in here and an ESPN article about kind of this clusterfuck at the Italian Grand Prix for qualifying.
Yeah. So we had a similar NASCAR story a couple months ago, where there was a track that was very dependent on drafting. And so because of that, like, nobody wanted to go out first. And then because nobody wanted to go out first, nobody ended up setting a time. A very similar thing happened here in Formula One, where this is the Italian Grand Prix in at the Monza track, and this is the fastest track out of all the tracks that they're going to race on this year. And this is also very dependent on getting a good draft. So again, nobody wanted to go out first, but usually, because each team has two cars, so usually, you know, that when there's two of them, you can send one of them out first and send the second one out to draft them, and then swap them for their next lap. But there was a crash for kind of the first set of laps, and so in order to try again, everybody got scared until one car finally went out, and then that car tried to do some shenanigans driving off the track so that they would slow down and then get behind all the other cars that had lined up behind them. It was just a big clusterfuck. And then everybody was driving so slow around the track, like 30 minutes slower than the normal lap, to the point where when they got towards the end, basically only one car crossed the finish line in time to start their qualifying lap. And everybody else just had to use the time that they had set earlier in the session. So basically only one car got to do a second qualifying lap at the end, and everybody else was stuck. And so that threw a wrench into a bunch of strategies. And then during the race, a couple crashes, a couple strategic missteps, but in the end, the guy who got pole position, Charles Leclerc, won the race for Ferrari, which gave them their first win in Italy since 2010. So
yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, the second win for Leclerc in a row, and the second win for Ferrari this year. So he's a young driver, 21 years old, but it's starting to shape up where he might be their better driver this year.
Yeah, I definitely think that's interesting. I always kind of struggle with Formula One stuff because it always happens at very weird times for me. But yeah, this kid seems really interesting.
This was a really interesting race. I think being a fast race made it pretty interesting. And then having a Ferrari in front chased by two Mercedes drivers, you know, one of them being the best driver in the world today, Lewis Hamilton, and this young 21-year-old driver in front that just has nerves of steel just fighting them off.
Yeah,
it's a definitely great win
interesting. I think Formula One for the fly by nights out there is something a lot of people should definitely go check out if you're kind of interested in motorsports, but NASCAR doesn't do it for you. Check out Formula One. All right, on to the topic of the goddamn day. Football. U.S. football. Not that soccer shit. We're talking about the good old U.S. of A. Today is the first Sunday of the NFL season. So we have a couple of things to talk about. Ezekiel Elliott, Tyreek Hill, and Julio Jones signed new deals. Julio Jones signing a deal that I think makes him the highest paid wide receiver, I don't know if ever, but in the league at the moment.
Yeah. It's a big contract. And so Atlanta is basically hitching their
future
to Julio Jones. Because
very well deserved.
Yes.
Despite the injuries over the last couple of years, very well deserved.
Yeah, and he's had a lot of injuries, but when he's been healthy, he's been fantastic. And he's also the rare non-diva wide receiver. So in the context of a lot of other things that are going on, I think that's not a that's not something to overlook.
Yeah.
Ezekiel Elliott is, you know, he's a running back, not a wide receiver, but, you know, he's held out. He's had, you know, domestic violence issues. You know, there's controversy around him. Tyreek Hill, there's controversy around him, and somehow he got a new deal. But, you know, Julio Jones has just been a model citizen and an incredibly productive player. So, you know, good for him.
And I think in the other formulation of that light, Julio Jones is the light and someone has to be the dark. And for the past couple of years, especially this year, it's been Antonio Brown. We literally walked away, I think, our very previous episode and said, look, there's nothing, no matter what he does, we're not going to talk about this. And he started doing things. He started doing all kinds of things. And we just sat here and we were like, nope. You're not going to get us. There's no way you're going to get us, Antonio Brown. He gets in a fight with one of his coaches. Nope. We don't care. He makes a YouTube video going on a public tirade about the team that he's on. Nope. Don't give a fuck. Like, has more shit about the helmet. And we're like, it's cool. Gets fined an exorbitant amount of money by the team that he was currently playing for. And we're still like, you goddamn person, we're not going to do it. You're not going to suck us in. But then somehow, some way, just word started to brew on Twitter that he might get released and he might go to the Patriots. And it was just that subtlety. Even in our Discord, people were like, yeah, I think he's going to go to the Patriots. And we were like, no, what? That would be crazy. And then we realized Bill Belichick's history for diva wide receivers. And we went, this was a ploy all along.
I mean, yeah, this isn't the Antonio Brown isn't the first high profile wide receiver to get cast off from the Raiders and end up on the Patriots. The last high profile one being Randy Moss, who then proceeded to have an amazing season. I think he broke Jerry Rice's touchdown record that season. You know, they've taken, they being the Patriots, they've taken flyers on some guys and you know, sometimes they work out, sometimes they don't, but it's almost like, you know, you get them in that Patriots environment and it almost seems like, you know, if they're not going to work out there, then they're not going to work out anywhere. I don't know. It just gives Tom Brady more weapons to throw to. I mean, they already have Josh Gordon on the team who, you know, for very different reasons, was having a lot of trouble coming into this season. And then, But yeah, the Patriots are expecting him to be productive for them. So, you know, one very talented wide receiver that, you know, the rest of the league gave up on. In this case, I don't think Antonio Brown gave the Raiders a choice whether to give up on them or not, on him or not.
His antics were escalating. He was going to stab a man at some point to get off of that team. Like, he was going to keep going, I think, until they decided to let him go. And then now seeing this for what it is and realizing the ploy, because that's literally I don't care what anyone else says at this point. This was literally planned out to get him off of this team. This man just came up with more and more crazy antics, like a TV sitcom, to find his way out of here.
And there are some rumors that from the league office that he basically got word that the Patriots would pick him up if he was released. The thing is, he's giving up his $30 million of guaranteed money in order to engineer this move. He signed a $9 million 1 year deal with the Patriots, but maybe that's worth it to him to be off this Raiders team and be on a Super Bowl contender. It's the reigning Super Bowl champions adding one of the top two wide receivers in the league is a big deal from a football perspective. If football was all there was involved in this, then you could just crown the Patriots champions right now. But now we're talking about whether he's going to clash with his teammates there. We're talking personality stuff and whether they can make it work on the Patriots, because if everybody's personalities mesh, then we're going to have another season like that season where the Patriots went 16-0 and 16-0 and then all the way through the playoffs and then eventually lost to the Giants in a big upset in the Super Bowl.
Eli Manning can save us. That's right.
I mean, that might be the case.
The whole world is going to turn to your boy Eli.
And the G-Men
will save us all.
If the Giants make the playoffs this year, which is a big if.
Yeah.
But if they can pull it off.
Or maybe his clone, Daniel Jones, will be ready. Maybe Daniel Jones is ready.
And you know what? Everybody, including us, kind of shat on them for drafting Daniel Jones. And apparently he's had a really good preseason. People are excited about Daniel Jones. And they're even talking about when is Daniel Jones going to eventually take the job away from Eli Manning. But I hope they don't do it this year, because I hope we get to see playoff Eli Manning one more time, because that might be the only thing that can take this Patriots team down.
Yeah. I don't know if playoff Eli exists anymore. I'm starting to have my doubts, but if it does happen, I'm here for it. I'm here for it. All right, let's move on to this deal that the National Women's Hockey League has made with, of all places, Twitch.tv.
Yes, we've been saying over and over again, we need to get hockey on Twitch somehow. And and we thought it would be the NHL. We thought, I don't think we ever thought that they would actually do it, because they got a bunch of other deals tied up. But we needed, we just felt like hockey would be perfect for Twitch, because nobody watches a hockey game and feels like they shouldn't have watched that hockey game, whether it's women's hockey or men's hockey or whatever. Like, hockey is an enjoyable thing to watch. And so if you put that in front of a Twitch chat, they will go nuts and they will enjoy it. And so the National Women's Hockey League is a small league, only five teams or so. Each team is going to play 24 games. And so this is going to span from October 5th through March 1st. We're talking about teams that are mostly centered in the Northeast. Minnesota is the westernmost team. Minnesota, Boston, Metropolitan, New York, Buffalo, and Connecticut are the five teams. So they will, they previously streamed games on Twitter and YouTube and averaged about 70,000 viewers per game. So hopefully they'll do better on Twitch.
Yeah, I love Mr. Twitch and Amazon, but sometimes when you narrow your focus a little bit, it can hurt you. But I think Twitch is a platform that if Twitch decides to back it and not just make a deal, it could be something that's good. I'm definitely down to start a rally call to tell people to watch more sports on Twitch if that's just the place that a lot of this is going to land. I mean, I don't necessarily care about the platform, just that you make sports easier to watch.
Yes.
And I think this definitely, I think YouTube still is a great place for a lot of people to let sports live, because then I think it gives you the ability, it gives you the easier rewatchability. No, YouTube.
I mean,
Live
DJM says no chat rooms, but I'm actually, I mean, yeah, it's, you put women's sports on Twitch and you're already a little bit wary of what Twitch chat is going to do with that.
Yeah, but that's people, and those people will exist no matter what the medium is. You know what I mean? Like,
it's going to require some moderation.
Yeah.
But it looks like if Twitch is willing to go out and pay the National Women's Hockey League to get this content, then hopefully they will make the right investments in order to police this content properly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think rather than always looking at live chats as a demonization of a thing, if you're willing to cultivate the culture and weed out the bad things, like you can exist in a realm where those things don't have to like speak for you. They don't have to be the evil that it is. Like it can just run in a realm where you cultivate the culture, you police it correctly, and you allow the good things to stand out, and you show that the good things standing out is what you want to see. It's more when people allow the bad things to exist that it tends to hurt things more than anything else. So this is definitely something that I think, if it grows correctly, and if it is policed correctly, will definitely be something that is good. Yeah, so that's about it for that women's NHL story. All right, VZ's back. So let's kind of get into this last thing that you have in here. The NBA and Nike, to a certain degree, are now going to come down on the ninja headbands, the ninja-inspired Naruto-styled headbands, as ZJM called them, and perfectly so, I think. The very kind of Naruto style headbands that a lot of the NBA players, very specifically for me, Jimmy Butler has been wearing a lot, I've noticed.
And for me, that's De'Aaron Fox. Mm-hmm. I guess I like to think that De'Aaron Fox pioneered it, but
okay. I'm just saying, I just noticed it on Jimmy Butler. Like, yeah, he was the kind of the person I noticed wearing it the most.
I mean, I've noticed that a lot of NBA players are getting more creative with their hair in general. And that's kind of cool to see, just from an artistic perspective. Or like some of the black players are letting their hair, like they're letting their afros grow out a lot bigger than they used to. So like seeing the headband like underneath that, I think that looks really cool. And these were Nike, like official Nike branded NBA headbands.
So it's not like they were
just taking random cloths and fashioning their own headbands. Like, these were like official products, and they were tying them into style.
That's where I kind of got caught up in this a little bit, and where I got a little bit confused when you stepped away and me and DJM were talking about it a little bit, because the only problem I see, right, is like, is like it's not a very clear Nike branding. It's kind of in the mesh of the fabric. So unless you're really looking at it, you don't see the Nike swoosh, and there's no NBA branding on it like the other headbands, right? And I was like, is the actual problem that there is no clear branding on these things, or is it the problem which they've been touting, which is it looks unprofessional?
Well, I mean, so there's been previous instances of them cracking down on the way people wear headbands, like the traditional, like elastic headbands. I think Rajon Rondo liked to wear his upside down. Mm-hmm. And so like the NBA logo was upside down, and the NBA was like, no, you can't do that. Like, you're going to show our brand. You have to show our brand the way we want you to show our brand. And that is with the logo with Jerry West right side up on your forehead. And, so like that seemed like a weirdly nitpicking thing, but like at least they said like, hey, you can still wear a headband, but just like, you know, wear it the way we want you to wear it. And so it seemed weird why they wouldn't, if they were that much of a stickler about this, like that they wouldn't come up with some sort of rule that says like this needs to be an NBA branded headband. I mean, because this was a growing trend that was noticed and picked up by various media outlets. So like it was a good marketing opportunity, you know, and you know, people would have bought these. It's, you know, they're throwing away money by not continuing to do this, and so that's why this is so confusing to everybody. And Mike Scott, 76ers forward Mike Scott, was the one that kind of broke the story on Twitter, because he's one of the people that uses them, and yeah, he's just mad about it now. I don't see the reasoning. You know, Nike wasn't competing with anybody else for this. And this was a product that they were already making, so they wouldn't have had to do like any R&D or any development for this. But even then, like they could have, they have enough money to do that, and they would have sold these things like hotcakes. So
yeah.
I don't get it. And for a league that's usually pretty progressive about letting players express themselves, this seems like a very weird backwards move. And I'm kind of hoping that Mike Scott just doesn't have his story straight. But I think it's really weird that Nike dictates what the NBA that Nike has some sort of influence on the NBA rules. It's like, to me, the NBA should say, okay, these types of apparels are allowed, and then it's up to various apparel companies to make those products, and then officially license them with the NBA if they want to get like an exclusive deal or something. So it's weird that this pushback is happening in the other direction.
It is, but the thing that keeps catching me is this unprofessionalism thing. And I guess it's a hard thing for my brain to comprehend, because I don't understand what it really means. What I mean? Like, I don't understand, is it because of the branding? Is it because of some, like, appreciated it. Yeah.
That's, I would probably, and it sounds like you were about to go in this direction. You know how players in the NFL and the NBA, and even to a certain extent the NHL, like you'll see goalies with helmets. They wear this particular gear, like in a practice or in the pregame or whatever. But then that's fine. But when the game actually starts, they can't wear them. That's what this headband thing is starting to sound like. It sounds more like the pre-game cleats or something.
Yeah. And it's like if these guys are comfortable wearing this, and some people are very ritualistic when it comes to how they prepare for sports and how they play sports. And it's like, oh, you know, I scored 30 that day. I wore two different socks. So like, I'm going to just keep wearing two different socks. And like, I think when you already have the branding, which Nike does, I don't understand why you are then on the side of banning the thing that you have the branding for. Because like VZ said, if it was just a random piece of fabric that these dudes were tying around their heads, I could see people being like, okay, look, you know, we don't have the branding for this. And if somebody else takes it, they could sue us. But you already have it. So what is the professionalism there? You have the
branding.
They want
to strike a new deal. They probably have a deal where it's just the regular headbands, and they want to find a way to strike a deal and make some more money on the ninja headbands. And until then, that's the excuse. Like the NBA, the league probably knows, oh, if more players start wearing these headbands, then Nike's going to want a little more from us. So we gotta shut that before it's ready.
Ninja has the rights to the ninja headband, and Nike couldn't get it in time, so now they have to ban the ninja headband because they don't want to pay the streamer Ninja.
That would make me really mad if that was the case. It's both from a trademark law perspective and from a NBA apparel perspective, and from just a player expression apologist perspective, that would just like three or four different angles of me being mad about this. It's, you know, and you all headlined by the fact that I don't get to see one of my favorite players wear this look that makes him look super cool anymore.
It's silly. And I don't think we're gonna find a reasoning in which we can agree on as to why it's silly. So I'm just gonna, this is gonna be one of the ones we throw into the bag here at Sports Odds and Ends that we call stupid shit that the leagues do. Generally, usually the NFL, but the NBA has a few things in there as well.
Yeah, if you want to look back at all the other stupid shit leagues have done, head on over to sportsoddsandends.com. We got them all listed. It's long list. You can find all that in our previous episodes. And you can find all those at the website. You can also hit us up on Twitter if you find other stupid shit that leagues are doing. I'm at JVZ. Kaz is at King Kaz. DJM is at Call Me DJM. Hit us up on Patreon if you want to support the channel financially. Patreon.com/sportsoddsandends. Thank you all for listening, and see you next time.
What is up, sports fans? It is back, Sports Odds and Ends. Here we go with another season of the NFL Football League. JVZ, are you excited?
What the hell is the NFL Football League? Do it again.
The National Football League. But it's most people know it as the NFL Football League.
No one knows it. Do it again.
Retweet.
You pulled an ATM machine.
All right.
Don't forget your PIN number.